We're going to jump right into this this message series again this morning. But as we do, I just want to remind everybody one thing. If you're on the Dream Team, if you've been serving around here and you are not yet signed up for the Dream Team Party, which happens next Sunday night, make sure you get signed up today. If you don't know how to do that, then see Patricia right after church and she'll get you lined up. She'll tell you exactly what you need to do. She laughed at me, but just see her. She knows who to talk to. All right. So we're going to have a lot of fun. If you are not on the Dream Team, man, get on the Dream Team so you can be a part of this next year. Yeah. It's Dream Team for me is the best thing we do. I mean, we just watching people serve and growing, and I just don't believe you can really reach your full potential in Christ until you start serving other people, and so until you start thinking about other people before you do yourself. And so there are people that show up here on Sunday morning so early that you and I are not even out of bed, and they're already getting things done on Sunday morning, Friday nights and Wednesday nights and all kinds of stuff. And so I just want to thank everybody who serves on our Dream Team. Yeah. Right. This message series we're in right now is called The Missing Piece. We all know what it means to lose a piece of a puzzle. And when you get to the end of the puzzle and you got that one piece missing, you're like, oh, that 4 days was just a waste. I just wasted the whole 4 days because that one piece, I mean, is not there. And who did it? And so then it's a manhunt. Like, who lost it? Who played with it last? And you want to blame somebody for it. Because if something is not complete, if you went to buy a car today and the salesman said, it's a beautiful car and we love this car, great car. The only thing is it just doesn't come with a steering wheel. You'd be like, why are you even showing me this car? It's got a missing piece. If you went to rent a house and they said, it's got everything it needs, just missing a roof. That's the only thing it's missing is just the roof. And you're like, it's a fence. It's just a fancy fence. Missing pieces ruin stuff. It just ruins stuff. And so when we have a missing piece in our life, it ruins things. It keeps us from enjoying what God has for us. When we don't have the peace of God in our lives, we start to miss out, or we begin by missing out on what He has for us. He wants us to be okay. He wants us in the face of difficulty and circumstances that we don't like. He wants us to have peace. Our peace, the peace of God that He gives us is not dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent on the work of God in our lives. And we can trust Him in that process to give us the peace that we need. But when we are focused on the wrong things, when we're focused on all the things that are wrong in our lives, then we really can't have that kind of peace. Everybody in the room and everybody watching online today has something in your life right now that you don't like. Don't look at your spouse, all right? You have something in your life that is just not right. You just wish it could be a little bit different. But many people in this room, many people watching online, know what that area of their life is, and they still have peace. They're okay. They're not worked up and angry or anxious about it. They understand that they have to trust God through the process. And today, I really want us to focus in on one word, waiting on God. Learning to wait on God. Because sometimes God doesn't move as quickly as I'd like for Him to. As a matter of fact, quite often He doesn't check the playbook when He is taking care of my life. I'm like, Lord, I thought we had this handled. I thought this was going to look different. I thought that life would feel different than it does right now. And I wish You could hurry up and take care of it. Really, waiting is kind of the worst feeling for all of us impatient people. All right, some of you are just patient and you're just sweet to everybody, and then there's the rest of us. We're just a little irritated all the time. We're like, can you not hurry up? Did you not know we were leaving to go to church this morning? Come on. Did you not know? And so waiting is hard for us. It's one of the worst feelings for most of us. Imagine yourself in those old school toll booths. Remember before they would send you a bill in the mail telling you you didn't stop at the toll booth? Remember that? And you actually had to stop and dig for quarters. Like, I forgot. I don't have any money. You don't take credit cards. Are you kidding me? What kind of operation we run around? And you get behind the person who is one quarter short, and they're having to destroy their car to find this quarter. And you're ready to just dig some quarters out and just throw them that way. Just you knew the toll booth was coming. Why can't you hurry? Or when you're at the doctor's office. You know, be there at 1:30. They really mean 2:30 for them. They're just telling you early, right? Just so you won't be late. And so we got options, though, when we're sitting out there in the waiting room. I mean, we can just be thankful that we have time to catch up on the 1993 issue of Reader's Digest. I mean, that's a big one. Or we could really have some fun with it. When we get really irritated, we just turn it into some fun and we just start hyperventilating so we can get some immediate care, you know? Just pass out on the floor or just tell everybody you got a contagious disease and clear the room. I mean, there's a million things you can do. We hate waiting. We hate waiting. Don't you love the guy behind you at the red light that you're looking down at your phone because you got to check, you know, Instagram right now? I got 48 seconds. I got to find out what's going on in the world. And you lose sight and it turns green and the guy behind you gives you the little honk, you know, and you're like, I'm going to come out of this car. We live in an impatient society. We are so busy. We hate waiting. You ever been to one of those fast food restaurants that says, we have the food out in under 90 seconds? And you're like, at 91 seconds, you got steam flowing out of your ears because you're in a hurry. They didn't do what they said they would do. There are things in your life and my life today that are not moving at the pace we wish they would move. We've prayed about it. We've talked to God about it. We've opened the scripture. We've actually got other people praying about it. And we're saying to God, what in the world is taking so long? What are you doing here, God? Have you forgotten about me? Don't you even care? I'm over here waiting on this. This hurts. I need you to show up. You could be praying for whatever. Who knows what you're praying for? Maybe you're praying for your migraine to get better, or maybe you're praying for your loved one to come to Christ, or maybe you're praying for a job with real benefits so you can take better care of your family, or you're praying for God to heal you from depression, or you're praying for your marriage. Maybe you're praying for a spouse. Maybe you just want to be married, and you're praying for a spouse. We're all waiting on something. I heard a story about a lady who was praying for a husband, and she had 43 things on her list. She said, God, I want all 43 things. 3 years went by, 4 years went by, 5 years went by. About 10 years along, she had two things left on the list. God, I want him to be a man, and I want him to have a job. That's it. Just two things. If you just send him my way, Lord, he just needs a pulse and a job. I'll teach him all the other stuff. We wait. I'll tell you this, God has the spouse for you. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that one up front. God has that person for you. But don't be settling for second best, all right? Wait on God. All right. We're all waiting on something. Here's what I want to say. Here's sort of the premise of this whole thing today. Just because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. While we're waiting, God is working. Just look at somebody and repeat this after me. While we're waiting, God is working. While we're waiting, God is working. You ever have your car at the shop being worked on and you're afraid that it's not really being worked on? And so you call every day. You're like, it's her again. Junior, you better hurry up. She's coming down here. She's bringing her husband. We want to know that when we are not there, that person is still working. We don't want to think our car is sitting out there on the parking lot. We're in a hurry. We're impatient, and sometimes we think that God is a mechanic and that he's just not handling it right now. He's just put it back there in the back parking lot, hoping that you're not going to notice that he hasn't been paying attention lately. And that's not what God is doing. If I'm waiting, God is working. I want that to settle in for somebody right now. If you are waiting, God is working in your circumstances. There's that moment, though, that we have to build our faith. We've got to start trusting God, even when we don't see the things happening as quickly as we want them to. And with that in mind, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 1. We all know this passage of Scripture. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The angel showed up to talk to Joseph because Joseph was dealing with some circumstances he never dealt with before. His future wife says, I'm having a baby and never been with another man, ever. And Joseph's like, well, I know we've been waiting, so something's up. And the Bible says that God sent an angel to talk to Joseph and tell him, miraculously tell him, no, it's okay. Not only is she having a baby and she is a virgin, you're going to name him. He's really saying you're going to raise this child. This child is the one that's going to save my people from their sins. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. And the Bible tells us that it's a beautiful story. Adam and Eve mess up. We know that story. And then God really shows up in a big way and says, look, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. In other words, it was a prophetic word given in the beginning that Jesus was coming one day and he was going to give us power over our spiritual enemy. He was saying, this prophecy was saying that we would have victory, that we would have victory over death, that we would conquer hell, that we would conquer sin, that we would that we would walk in freedom every single day. But that happened in the beginning. That promise was all the way back when Adam and Eve were walking the earth. And centuries passed. Century after, hundreds of years were going by. Nothing was happening. And somewhere along the way, about 700 years ago, Isaiah gives another prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He's 700 years ago. Now, in the beginning, we find out about it. 700 years ago, and there's many, many other prophecies in the Old Testament. Go back and look at that. But 700 years ago, the birth of Christ is prophesied, and it is followed by a lot of silence. God made a promise that he didn't fulfill immediately. We had to wait on it. And then about 400 years before Christ, that was 700 years before Christ. Now 400 years before Christ, everything goes silent. It's called the intertestamental period. The Old Testament was done, and then there's 400 years of silence. All sorts of things are going on in the world, but the Christ, Jesus, is not coming. And then we know the story. Jesus miraculously is born of a virgin, and it had been prophesied that the salvation of the human race would come through the woman. And now here it is, hundreds and hundreds of years later, and Mary, being a virgin, gives birth to Jesus, and that promise actually physically comes through this woman, Mary. And Jesus starts to do what Jesus did on earth, and we know those stories. But there's that long period of silence in there. If you and I were alive, we would probably ask the same questions they were asking. God, where are you at, and what are you doing, and why haven't you showed up, and can you help us, and we're in trouble here. But he was working through a process. Galatians chapter 4 says this, but when the set time had fully come, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. He's really saying, God is saying, I want to save you, and here's the way I've chosen to do it. I'm going to save you through this baby that's going to grow, and you're going to find out who he really is. He's God. He's the Messiah. He's the one that brings this, but you're going to have to wait. But when the set time had fully come, somebody say set time. When the set time had fully come. Not when the other humans that were alive thought it would be some good timing. When the set time had fully come, when God had created this perfect moment, it was the perfect time for Jesus to show up. Then that set time was fully come, and that's when God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. He redeemed us. He forgave us. We're no longer children of sin. We're children of freedom now. We get to walk in the light of Christ. There's two words in this passage that really jump out. One of the words is chronow. Let's take a look at this next one. Two Greek words, pleroma chronow. Chronow, we would recognize this word as chronology or clock or time. And pleroma means that it's full, it's perfect. And so when the scripture tells us that Jesus would come when the set time had fully come, he was saying when the time is complete, that's when Jesus is going to show up. Another version of scripture says when the time is right. You ever say that to your kids? They're like, I want it now. It's not time. And you expect them to accept that. And they don't usually accept it because 5 minutes later, what about now? Or better yet, you're on a trip and they say, are we almost there? And I think I finally came to the point I'm like, yep, just 1,000 miles to go. That's it. We'll be there just 1,000 miles. They don't have a concept of what 1,000 miles is. So it ends the questions for a little bit. It says, when the perfect time finally gets there. Another version of scripture says, and when the fullness of time had come. It literally means to be fully pregnant. Now, fellas, we're going to have some faith here and understand. Not going to feel this, not going to understand it. But all the ladies, all the moms in the room, you get it, don't you? I was fully pregnant. I mean, it was time. It was just time. You know, when our kids were born, I didn't question it. I didn't go, well, you know, I mean, we still seems like we got a few days. I'm like, yes, ma'am. Whatever you say, I'm in. I'm driving. Come on, let's go. And there's that moment, though, where the doctor also agrees with the mother that it is time. And it might be a very difficult birth. It may take a long time. There can be surgery involved. All kinds of things can happen. But when the time is fully there, when the pregnancy is ready, that's when that baby is born. Now when we tell the story, well, what was it like when the baby was born? Well, it just happened real quick. It was cool. It was just like, you know, it was great. And you get that sideways glance from your wife, like, were you even in the room when this happened? Because for us, it was just quick. We were just like, hey, the baby's here. For mom, it's like 9 months of throwing up and sickness and growing and outgrowing and all kinds of stuff happening. And There's a process involved. When you're waiting on something and you're the one in the middle of the struggle, it seems longer than it really is. But all that time, during that completion time, during all that time, there's something going on. Dad just shows up at the beginning and the end of this thing, all right? So I'm just going to say that so we get it. But mom is involved the whole way. The whole way. There's a process going on. This baby is growing and developing. It causes discomfort for mom along the way. But just because we can't see that baby doesn't mean we don't know a baby is there. We know that. And sometimes God is allowing us to work through our difficulty. Sometimes that 9 months goes into 5 years. And we think, God, it's enough. The time should be complete. And God's like, I'm still working. Remember when Genesis and then 700 years before Christ and then, listen, it was a long process for Jesus to get there. God's working somewhere in your life. Let's say this again. While you're waiting, God is working. While you're waiting this morning, God is working. You might not be able to see it. You might not know what's happening. But faith says, Lord, I trust you. I trust that even though I can't see it, even though I can't control it, I trust you, Lord. I'm waiting and I don't like this waiting and I wish it was faster, but I know you're working. There are people in this room right now today. There are people in this room who your families and your friends were praying for you and you were so far from God and they said to God, God, it's long enough. We've been waiting so long, God, please bring them back. And for you, you came back and it was just a flash. And for them, it was a long process of praying and waiting and trusting God and asking God to show up. But when you're in that holding pattern, it just hurts. It's just painful. It seems like God is giving you the silent treatment. You know, like people say about their texts, they ghosted me. It just means they quit talking. I ask them a question. They didn't even answer. Some of us feel like God's doing that to us right now. God just ghosted us. I was talking to him and then he just quit talking. It means he's working. It means he's working. He's doing something in your life. You're not alone. It's not a spiritual failure on your part. He's just got you in that holding pattern for now. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years before the child that God promised them was coming actually came. Abraham's 100 years old. Talk about losing faith. 100 years. He had to be thinking, I can't believe I got to raise a kid now. Are you kidding me? The promise took a long time to get there. What about Joseph? He waited in prison for 13 years before he would get to lead as second in command of Egypt. 13 years. What about the woman with the issue of blood that reached through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment? 12 years she struggled with that. But when she found out Jesus was coming by, she positioned herself and she was waiting and she wasn't going to let the 12 years of what seemed to be failure, she wasn't going to let that stop her from getting to Jesus today. She pushed her way through. It's the equivalent of you and I saying, Lord, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to give up on this. I trust you and I'm going to lean on you. I need you to show up. In the Gospels, there's a story of one man who waited for 38 years to be healed. Now listen, I hope you don't have to wait 12 or 13 or 25 or 38 years, but you might. We might, but when I'm waiting, he's working. He's showing up. When Jody and I were, we decided it was time for us to have a baby. We had a lot of trouble, just a whole bunch of problems and miscarriages and all kinds of things. And we were praying that God would give us a baby. And we were in a worship service in another town. And at the end, they ask anybody who needs prayer, come forward. And we just got up and walked forward, just like many of you did this morning. We just walked forward, and we met the person who was speaking that morning and or that evening. And she looked at us, and she prayed. And then she, not knowing what we were praying about, she said these words. She said, "When that thing comes out, I want you to call me and tell me." I was like, "Did you tell her we want a baby?" I was like, "Why would she say it like that?" But we just took it as a sign from God. Like, God knows what needs to happen. We're waiting, and we don't like it. In the meantime, we find out we're expecting a baby. One Sunday morning, within a week or two of that occurrence, after a Sunday morning service, Jody and I were going to go out and eat after church that Sunday morning, and some of you old Irvingites remember Barzans? Oh, yeah, come on. You get some good chicken down there. It's gone now. Anyway, we drove over to 6th Street, and we parked, and we went in, and we're just minding our own business and talking very quietly, and we're talking about this thing. It was all that's on our mind. We just found out we're expecting a baby. We're scared to death. We've already had all this trouble. What if this happens again? But we're trying to trust God. We're trying to believe. And then a lady who I would say looked like a homeless person, a couple of tables away, just very bluntly looks at both of us and goes, "Hey, you two, that thing you're praying for, God's about to do it." And I was like, we looked at each other. We were about in tears. And I grabbed the waitress and I said, "I don't care what she's eating, I'm paying." It was that moment, amen. It was that moment of faith, of faith building. I don't know that lady. If you ask me, she was probably an angel. I've been in South Irving for 25 years. I haven't seen her before or since. I don't know who she is. But here's what I know. It built my faith, and it built my wife's faith. And that little baby's now 21 years old. Listen. We have to wait on things, or we don't appreciate anything. Christmas would mean nothing to your children if they woke up every day and there were a stack of presents in the living room floor. It would mean nothing. They probably would get to the point that they would stop opening the gifts. They're like, "It's enough, Dad. It's enough. I don't need any more remote control trucks. I'm just done. No more video games around here, Dad. Stop it." But when it's once a year, oh, it means something. They forgot last year. It's just looking forward now to what's coming on Christmas morning. And sometimes God has to let us go through difficult times for lots of reasons, and we can talk about that a different time. We appreciate it so much more. He's developing our character. He's changing us so we can handle the blessing. He's working on the other end, developing their faith. He's doing something that we can't see. But every time that he is silent, he is also working. So whatever's going on in any of our lives today, I want us to get this. If he's quiet, he didn't ghost you. He's working. On the other end of this thing, and answering those prayers. I've told this story too many times. My grandfather gave his, I'm trying to be proper. My papa gave his heart to the Lord when he was 69 years old. 69. My grandmother prayed all those years. Never gave up. Just praying for him. Just praying, 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 praying. 69 years old when he gave his heart to Christ. So if you're praying for that loved one who is away from the Lord, don't stop now. Don't stop now. Let's amp it up. Let's push further through, just like the little lady with the issue of blood. Let's push ahead and trust that God is in this thing with us, and he's going to help us. Isaiah 64:4 says this, "For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Let me read it again. For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Listen, God shows up when you wait on him. He will always be faithful to show up when the moment is right. God will always show up. Now listen, I'm not telling you there's not going to be low moments where your faith is tested. But it's in those moments that our faith is tested when God can work the most and do the most work in us. When I have to, and you have to say, my faith is weak. You know what we have to do? We got to get somebody else involved to help pray with us. Because the Bible says when two of you agree, then God works. Where two or three of you are gathered in his midst, he is there waiting. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We got to team up. We got to get some people in on this. If you're trying to do it all by yourself, then you're going to live worried and afraid. You got to have other people in your life that are going in the same direction, and you can pray for them and they can pray for you, and you trust each other together. God's ways are always good. God's ways are always good. God's timing is always perfect. You can trust him today. He is not neglecting you. He has not forgotten about you. He is not postponing. He's planned it, and he's building you, and he's building me, and he's changing us. His plan is perfect, and he loves you. He loves you. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows that the desires of your heart are not selfish. If you're praying for that loved one, or you're praying for that situation on your job, or you're praying for health, he knows. You're not making some childlike Christmas wish list. You're praying for this stuff that you need. And he's going to be faithful. He's going to show up. One more time on the screen. Just because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. While we're waiting, God is working. I want you to stand with me if you would. While you're waiting, God is working. I don't know if you've ever been to the hospital when a loved one or a friend was having a complicated surgery. And they say, oh, it's going to take 4 hours for the surgery. You just wait in the waiting room. Someone will come out and give you some updates from time to time. And you're just on the edge of your seat just waiting for the next update. You're just watching the door. Man, just come on, come on. And when the person walks out, walks through that door, everybody in your group just stands up. And you just want to hear what's happening back there. All we've been doing is waiting. We want to know what's happening back there. And they give you an update. And then a couple of hours later, they come and give you the same update that you're waiting with the same anticipation for. And finally, after however many hours it is, the doctor himself finally walks out. And he is sweaty, and you can see creases on his face where masks have been pushing. And he's still wiping his hands, drying his hands off from where he has washed his hands because he's been busy at work. I want to say to somebody here this morning, Jesus said it's not the people who are well that need a doctor, it's the people who are sick. Jesus is saying, I am the great physician. I'm back there behind the doors and I'm getting the work done. I know you feel like you're just waiting right now. but I'm doing the work. If you could see me, I'm sweating. I am laboring. I am doing what needs to be done right now to answer the prayer that you've been praying and the thing you've been needing. I'm working. I didn't leave you out here all by yourself for no reason. I know you're waiting, but I'm still working. So if you've got something in your life, in your heart right now that you just say, I've been carrying this thing for a long time and I'm tired. I'm ready to unload. I'm ready to let God show up. And I know I can't be burdened and weary all the time. So I've got to let go of the heaviness that I'm carrying. I got to be able to live without this pressure. I've got to learn to trust God in a brand new way. I feel like I've been carrying this by myself, and I know I'm leaning on God, but I'm exhausted. To you, to the person who feels that this morning, I want to quote scripture for you. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Unload it on Him this morning. Unload it on Him this morning. Let Him do His work. Amen. Let's pray right now. Father, we just thank You for all You're doing, God. Lord, we want You to work faster, but God, we also trust You when it's not as quick as we want it to happen. When we're not getting answers at the pace we want them, we trust You, Lord, and we know that You're working when we can't see it. We know that when we're waiting, and even when we're worried, You're still working. Lord, I pray that the person in the room, God, and watching online that is dealing with a lack of peace, the missing peace in their life, Lord, I pray that You would speak that peace into them today, that You would do the work in them, God, that only You can do. That, Lord, You would draw us all close to You today. Let us sense Your presence, God. Let us know that You are working. Let us know that behind those closed doors, You are taking care of business, God. We can't see it, but You're answering. We can't see it, but You're working. And we trust You, Lord, and we thank You, God, for what's coming. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Let's sing this to Him right now.
And I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop, You never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working.
For Your help, we ask for You to work, and God, we're just going to trust You going forward. When other people don't understand our trust and our faith in You, Lord, we're still going to trust You. We're still going to believe in You. We're still going to walk close to You, God. We need You, and we know it. We just, Lord, lean into You today and thank You for what's coming. Thank You for the answers that are on the way. Thank You, God, that You're working right now, even when we can't see it. Give You praise right now for all the good things that are on the way in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to say one more thing before we go. The Bible speaks of a word that we sometimes hate. It tells us it's the work of the Spirit. It's the fruit of God working in us. This word is called perseverance. Maybe you just know it as, I'm just sticking with it. I'm just pushing through. I'm hanging on. I'm not giving up. I just want to encourage somebody here today. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. It might be that that promised child is almost there. It might be that the prison doors are almost open. It might be that Jesus is walking by and you touch the hem of his garment. It's just almost there. So don't stop now, because God's faithful. If nothing else, God is faithful. He shows up and he works in our lives, and we got to trust him with the people in our lives, with the circumstances in our lives. We got to trust him. We got to trust him. I haven't said this in a long time. I want to give you some homework this week. Here's your homework. Get in the Word this week. Open your Bible this week. If the Bible's a little dusty or you don't even remember where it is, get in it this week. Find it. Get home today and open your Bible. Don't try to conquer your Bible this week. Just open it. Just start reading some. Open it up to Matthew. Read about Jesus' birth. Just give God something to work with, because here's what the Bible says, and I'm going to let you go. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith. If I'm going to trust God, I got to have some faith. And the only way I can get faith is to open the word. Some of us have been running on empty for so long. We're like, we fly by that biblical gas station every day. Man, I don't need it today. And we're just flying by. And God's like, it's time for a fill up. You're about empty. You're fixing a breakdown on the side of the road. Open our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles this week. God, bless us as we go. Use us this week for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.